All right, well, this morning our subject will be promotion. How many of you have been promoted recently? I know some children, you're about ready to start a new grade. That's promotion. That's moving up, going forward. You know, when we think of promotion, we usually think of positive, and it's good to be promoted. Psalm chapter 75, verses 6 and 7 says this, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." So God is in control, and promotion comes from Him. Now, sometimes promotion comes directly. What I mean by that is God works in a way in which, I tell you what, it's evident that God is the one who promoted. That God has answered a prayer, or God has produced a result where we look and say, God promoted me. God has exalted and God has lifted me up. I think of salvation. Without a doubt, God is at work. Now, there are other times where God will promote indirectly. I guess maybe we can talk about moving up another grade as being that, where that's just part of life. But what I say indirectly is, yes, it's part of life, but guess what? God has given us life, and God has sustained our life, and God has allowed us to move forward and has allowed us to be promoted. So sometimes God will work through a situation and provide promotion that way. Either way, promotion is from God. So there's nothing wrong with being promoted as a believer, being promoted, whether it's spiritual, being lifted up spiritually, or even in this world, if God allows you to be promoted. However, you knew there'd be a however somewhere in here. However, with promotion, we receive new burdens, usually. I think we're going to find this morning, I hope we find, that with God, we can endure. That's what David discovered. You see, his life changed completely, instantly, so to speak. I mean, after he gained the victory over Goliath, his life would never be the same again on earth. And his life changed completely. David, as we'll see this morning, was removed from his home. He was recognized by many. He was respected at one point, pretty much respected, almost adored by all. And eventually, as we'll see at the end, he was resented by some. And it was all due to his promotion. Being promoted, David had to deal with these problems. Now, each promotion probably presents new problems. And David had four that he had to deal with. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And we're beginning with the first one, the fact that he was removed from his home. Notice it says in verse 2 of chapter 18 of 1 Samuel, "And Saul took him that day and would not," it says, "would let him go no more home to his father's house." So the first change for David was in his location. Now, moving is difficult. Sometimes it can be difficult because of sentiment. You know, if you've been somewhere for a long time and you have to move, it can be difficult. You get attached to a place, to people that are around you, and it can be difficult to move. Sometimes it can be difficult physically. I don't enjoy packing and putting things in boxes and then unpacking. So moving can be difficult. Now, David had previously worked at the palace. We know he was Saul's armor bearer. And he had worked in the palace. But up until this point, it appears that he would return home at times. And so his home or his, where his family was is where he pretty much lived. But this would change. David's home would now be in the palace, at least for a time. And this was not by choice. It was part of the promotion. How many of you have ever been promoted and you found something else that came along with it that you may not have known about it until the promotion came? Or you didn't give any thought to it, and then once the promotion came, you said, "Oh, that's right, I do have to do that." Well, that was what happened here with David. He was promoted, and part of it was leaving his home and leaving his family. Now, sometimes promotion calls upon us to leave those that we love or that we care about. We have to be removed from their presence, so to speak, here on earth at least, until a further time. Now, David moved from his house, from the place where his father lived, Jesse, and he left his brothers and other family members. Now, I know in that last chapter we see that one of his brothers was a little bit ornery. But we also notice in 1 Samuel 22, if you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 22, when David got himself into some trouble, not so much because of what he did, but because of Saul, notice in verse 1, it says, "David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam, and when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him." Praise the Lord for good family. Notice that. When they heard David was in trouble, when they heard their brother or their cousin, whoever it was in trouble, sitting in the cave because he'd been chased from the palace, what happened? They went to his aid. That's a good family. If you have a good family this morning, praise the Lord for your family. Our church family should be like that. We should be a family ready to help in time of trouble. So David had to leave his family, and his family, I believe, was probably close to him. Most families during that time were close, and I imagine David was close to his family. Now, one of the effects of promotion that I want you to think about this morning is loneliness. Loneliness is something that even today we deal with. I was reading of an evangelist before he had some meetings, and this was just about 30 years ago. Before he had a set of meetings, he was there for 1 week. He handed out a flyer just out of curiosity, asking people some thoughts. And if there was a subject, because during the day he dealt with subjects, during the day, at night he would preach the services. If there was a subject that they would want him to discuss and deal with, overwhelmingly, the subject that almost everyone wrote down was loneliness. People wanted him to deal with that, loneliness. You know, loneliness is real today. Webster describes it this way. I'll give you Webster's definition. He says, being without company, cut off from others, not frequented by human beings, sad from being alone, producing a feeling of bleakness or desperation. Loneliness, being by yourself. Now, because of his new position, David was without his family. Now, he lived in a different time than we live in. He had no cell phone where he could give him a call at night and see how they're doing. He was without his family. Also, his friends would probably be few. He didn't know a whole lot of people there already. He was being promoted to a new position. And so David, I am sure, probably was alone, or at least appeared to be alone at times. Former President Dwight Eisenhower, I'm going to share this with you. I think this is interesting. After he became President of the United States, he had a telephone conversation with one of his closest friends, Omar Bradley, who was a general, served with him during the war, and really was a close friend. Well, during the conversation, former President Eisenhower made the comment. He said, during the conversation, he said, Bradley kept referring to me as Mr. President. He said, before that, he always called me Ike. He said, but the entire conversation, he called me Mr. President. Afterwards, Eisenhower would say, he goes, I finally understood that I would be separated from all others, including my oldest and best friends. He said, I would be far more alone now than during the war. Promotion. You know, when you get promoted to a position of leadership or any promotion at all, sometimes you have to leave people behind, not necessarily because you want to, but that's the situation. I think that's what happened with David. And loneliness is something anyone can deal with at any time. Now, I want to say this. I really believe that few in this world are literally lonely. What I mean by that is there are probably few, if any, that have nobody in their life at all. However, many believe they are alone. That's the problem. Many feel that they are all alone, that they are by themselves, that nobody understands, that nobody cares, and that there's nobody there to talk to or count on. And because they believe this, then the results are the same as far as being lonely. You know, I think, and I'm going to get into some meddling here this morning, so get ready for this. I think much of this is a result of our society. As far as our today, you know, people don't interact like they used to. Let's give it some thoughts here. You can pay bills without talking to a person. Everything can be done online now. You can even go to the grocery store and buy groceries without seeing anybody. You can go to those self-checkout lines. You can go in, get what you need, and go on and go home. Some people work from home. You know, if we're not careful, we can go through a week without having any interaction with other people. So we may live in a world that is, as far as numbers, larger than in times past. But because of the way we live life, sometimes we can be lonely. You know, I think a lot of people have found out that it's easy to associate with others, yet feel all alone, because there's not real interaction taking place. You see, God has created us to fellowship, and that's what I want to remind you of this morning. God has made us to fellowship. He has made us to fellowship with Him, but He's also made us to fellowship with others. You know, I think that's why the social media has taken off, because people are looking for some type of fellowship. They're lonely. They're looking for some sort of, correspondence with others. Part of the problem with the social media, though, is it's all about self. I think that's part of the problem. Come see what I've done. Come see what I'm doing. And so it really doesn't help out. Also, you know, there's a difference between talking to someone face-to-face and then typing something on the keyboard. You see, we're missing interaction. You know, God has made us to fellowship. Now, Adam was created to fellowship with God. And what did it say about Adam in Genesis chapter 2? It said, it is not good, God said, that man should be alone. Yes, Adam could fellowship with God, But God was going to bless them with someone else to fellowship. You see, this morning, first off, we need to fellowship with God, our Creator. That's the first fellowship I think that is needed. David was a spiritual man. We know that. He wrote many hymns. He sang unto the Lord. He prayed unto God. We know he prayed unto God three times a day according to his Psalms. So he was a man that sought after the Lord. Perhaps that's why David, even at a young age, was able to overcome this and have no difficulty with it, because he had a good, strong relationship with God. Psalm 55, verse 17, David didn't write this, but this is written here. It says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." Three times a day. The problem is, with a relationship with God, is until we're saved, that relationship is broken because of sin. And that's the problem. The only way to restore the relationship with God is to deal with sin. You see, that's what many people are neglecting today. They're talking about, you know, working and living right and being good. And for the most part, there are a lot of people who are not saying anything bad. They're just not addressing the issue. You know, that'd be like a doctor diagnosing some sort of sickness or disease and just saying, well, go home and, you know, have fun, watch TV and enjoy your life and so forth, and tell you everything positive and good. You can go home and do that. You can return that, you know, in a week or so, and things can still be the same or worse in some cases, because the real issue is not being addressed. This morning, the real issue is sin. It's not how we feel or what we can do, but it's the sin that's already there in our life. And that sin needs to be addressed. And here's why it needs to be addressed: because God is a holy God, a righteous God. We cannot stand before God and expect Him to ignore our sin. What kind of God would He be if He did that? He wouldn't be a righteous and a holy God. So He's going to address sin that's there. That's where Jesus Christ comes in. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. If we want to have fellowship with God, we have to come through Jesus Christ. That's the only way to have fellowship restored. And it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, people talk a lot about the love of God. The love of God, notice it says here, God commendeth His love toward us. The love of God is displayed in the fact that He sent His Son to provide a way for sinners to fellowship with God. Verse 9, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." You see, Jesus Christ, you know, the Bible calls Him the mediator in some sections in Hebrews. Jesus Christ is the one that brings men and women, sinful men and women, together with God. So this morning, if you want to have a relationship with God, if you want to fellowship with God, you must come through Jesus Christ. You must seek His forgiveness, trust in Him as your Savior, and then you can be saved, and then you can fellowship with God the Father. You know, the Bible tells us that's the only way. Jesus Himself made it clear in John 14:6. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. So there's no other way. It's not go find the way that's best or go find the way that you would like. The way is there. We must come to God through Jesus Christ. You know, when you think about this, once that takes place, once that occurs, the relationship between God and the sinner is restored. In other words, once you are saved, you can now go to God the Father in prayer. You can now receive the blessings He has for you and the benefits and all that comes with being saved. And that's all because of Jesus Christ. I hope and pray this morning you're saved. You know, that alone removes loneliness. I can guarantee that. Because even if, say, if you find yourself all alone in this world, you're still not alone because of Jesus Christ. Never leave you nor forsake you. And so let's never forget how good our God is. Now, secondly, how about fellowship with others? You know, in this passage, and we go back to 1 Samuel 18, we find David meeting a man who would become his best friend. It says there in verse 1, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." We have two men that came together and became great friends. You know, if you have a good friend in this world, praise the Lord for that. Give thanks for your friend. Anyway, in this case, we find two men. I think a friendship was developed first because they had common ground. It's no doubt that both men loved God and put their faith in God. Jonathan himself was a great warrior, courageous. The Bible tells us on one occasion, him and his armor bearer scrambled up a hill and took on a garrison of Philistines by faith and were successful. You see, I think these two men are probably drawn together because they were similar, common ground. Here's another thought, though. It was true friendship. The reason why I say that is because Jonathan, the heir apparent, as far as the world was concerned, the heir apparent to the throne, instead of becoming jealous, instead of becoming envious of David, the Bible tells us that he set aside his personal ambition and he became David's friend. Now, I think that's a blessing. Two men able to be friends. And here in this case, we find, I believe, that probably was not only an encouragement to David now, but we know later in his life, it proved to be a great blessing. As he was rejected, and later as he was on the run from Saul, Jonathan continued to be a close friend. You know, this morning, be thankful for your friends. Be thankful for anyone in your life that is a friend. And also, here's another thought. How about you be a friend? You know, it tells us in Proverbs 18, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You know, if we're going to have friends in this world, we must be friendly. You know, some people don't have friends, it's because they're just not talking to anybody. They don't want friends. This morning, let's make sure that we're not chasing people away because of our attitude, but we're friendly and we're nice. And so we find David was removed from his family, but because of the Lord's blessings, I think he was able to overcome any loneliness that may have been put in place. And we can as well. Secondly, notice the promotion. David was recognized. Notice it says here in verse 5, David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servant. Here's the second thought, promotion. First, we talked about promotion being removed from his family. Second, promotion being recognized by others. The Bible tells us that David was set over the men of war. We're not given his rank. There's no rank provided here. But I think it's clear he became a leader of men, put in a high position. Now, he had never led men as far as he probably may have led servants and his dad's, you know, as far as his dad's house, but he had never led men as far as military were concerned up until this point. And so we find him put in a high position. Now, I think Saul was wise to promote David. You know, Saul made some mistakes, and we'll talk about some of those in a few minutes, but this was not one of them. This was a good decision because David had proven to be courageous. Nobody else wanted to fight that giant, but David did. David had proven to be a man of faith. David had proven to love the Lord. And David had proven to be willing to go wherever Saul sent him. So it was a good promotion. And David proved himself to be an effective leader. Now, promotion is good. You know, we talk about promotion. Promotion is good. But you know, sometimes with promotion, we have more responsibility. Almost all the time with promotion. When you're promoted, there's more responsibility. You know, the first thought that comes to my mind with promotion is blessings. You know, we're promoted and we receive blessings. And that's true. But here's some other thoughts too. The more we have, the more we have to watch over. You know, David would now have to make decisions that would affect men and their families. That's some responsibility right there. Secondly, the more we have, the more we are watched. Now, David, I guess before this, just the sheep watched their young shepherd. That was it. Now, David would have the whole nation watching over him. Can you imagine that? The whole nation instantly watching this young man, observing his conduct, taking notes, responding to how he acts. You know, the more we have, the more we're watched. Now, some people watch to encourage. Some people watch to discourage. That's just part of life. You see, David's life would be put under the microscope from this point on. Everyone would watch him. You know, when I was a young child, a long time ago, I used to think, man, I would like to be a Bible character. The older I got, the more I realized I'm glad I am not a Bible character. Could you imagine your whole life being put out for everyone to see? Not just your good decisions, but also your bad decisions. And not just for one generation, but for all generations afterwards to learn from. David. I think as far as David's concerned in the Old Testament, he probably, we know more about him perhaps than any others. I know there's a few others, Moses, some others we know a lot about. But David is the one that we know the most about, not just in his as far as being king, but his personal life. You see, David was observed from this point on. Also, the more we have, and we don't like to think of this one, the more we have, the more we can mess up. And that's the truth. You get promoted, you get responsibility, then you can make a decision that's wrong, and it affects more people, and it gets noticed more. You see, all would know David's mistakes. Think about that. Not just to his generation either. We read about him today. Everyone would know of David's mistakes. Promotion, there's a lot that comes with it, a lot of burdens. Now, as far as David's concerned, at least right now in this passage, here's what I want to point out. He remained the same. And that's a testimony to his character and to himself. You know, how many men, not just young men, how many men and women get promoted and all of a sudden they change? Their attitudes change. Their desires change with that promotion. David doesn't appear to change at all. It mattered not if he was in the fields leading the sheep or if he was out in the battlefield leading the soldiers into war. He was a dedicated man, he was faithful to God, and he remained obedient. What a testimony. What a testimony that was. The Bible tells us that Saul set him over men of war. And also it says in verse 5, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. So Saul directed David. David had been promoted and Saul directed him. Now, let's remember, this is the young man who knew that he would be king eventually. You know, that would go to the head of a lot of young men right away. And a lot of them would struggle to take any direction from anyone, let alone the man they knew they were going to replace someday. Yet David went wherever Saul sent him. Faithful, obedient to the direction he was given. You know, sometimes after we're promoted, it's difficult to take orders. You know what I think that is? That's selfishness. Selfishness creeps in. You know, there are some people that are looking for a promotion just so others can serve them instead of them serving others. That's why they want the promotion. Everyone can come to them. You know, this morning, we need to focus on God. That's what we need to focus on. You know, David didn't seem to have these problems. He didn't become selfish. He didn't become disobedient. And I believe a lot of it was because, two thoughts, I think he respected Saul and Saul's position. David wasn't king yet. That wasn't, you know, he was called to be king, but God had not given him that position. David was willing to wait and be faithful. Also, I think it's safe to say that he lived unto the Lord. You know, when you live unto the Lord, no matter what position God gives you or where He places you, you can be faithful. Colossians chapter 3 says in verse 23, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, this morning, wherever God has placed you, wherever God has placed you, I just want to encourage you to live for Him. And if He promotes you, then continue to live for Him. Wherever He places you, wherever He takes you, do your best because you serve Jesus Christ. That's why we should do our best. Now, David, also the Bible tells us that he behaved himself wisely. That's a word. The word there means to be successful. Basically, to prosper due to wisdom is what it's implying. Someone that prospers due to the wisdom they have and their correct decisions. So, David wasn't simply successful. He succeeded while living correctly is what the Bible tells us. In other words, and this is important. And we're talking about a young man going out, leaving the home for the first time. Going out and being with all these men of war and put in a position of leadership. And the Bible tells us he handled himself correctly. You know, as a dad, I hope that can be said of my children someday. They handled themselves correctly when they went out in the world and God called them to the direction He wanted them to go. You know, what we find is that how we do something is just as important as what we do. You know, that's set aside sometimes. What I mean by that is there are some people who just look, you know that phrase, the ends justifies the means, that they can do anything they want as long as they get the results. Keep in mind, God pays attention to how we get those results, the methods, the motives. You know, David behaved himself wisely, and there was no fault to be found in his actions or in his conduct. I think we find a young man who avoided temptation, a young man who controlled his emotions, controlled his passions, and he lived unto the Lord. Now this, I think, is where the burden, this is just where I think we find a possibility where the burden of misconduct can come in. What I mean by that is often when people are promoted, you can sometimes find immoral or illegal actions due to that success or to maintain that success. Let me give you some thoughts here. You know, prisons are filled with those that commit crimes in order to get ahead in life. That's a basic summary right there. Now, I know there are other reasons, but a lot of men are there and women are there because they just wanted to get ahead in life. They desired more. Some just wanted another dollar, while some wanted your entire bank account. They desired more. And so they got caught and they got put in prison. Instead of living correctly, you know what they did? They turned to incorrect, immoral methods for gain is what they did. Now that's tempting. How about this morning? That's tempting in our world today. You know, it's tempting to cut corners sometimes. It's tempting to take shortcuts. You know, in the business world, if everyone else is doing it, it's tempting to jump on board, even though it's not right if everyone else is doing it. You know, I think we can see in our world today that that has caused many problems. I think there are some businessmen and women who probably have made decisions they wouldn't have made except for they thought they had to do it to keep up. And next thing you know, they come down with everyone else. David didn't fall into that trap. He was there. And evidently, he continued to live correctly before the Lord. You see, this morning, that's important for us to remember. No matter where God places us, we need to live unto Him. Make correct decisions. Make them whether you're at home with your family or if you're at work or if you're at church. No matter where you are, live unto the Lord. Keep in mind, He's observing and He's paying attention. Basically, what we find here, I think, is that sometimes people believe a promotion provides freedom to live as they want. And that's not true. That's not the case. As believers, if God promotes, let's just live unto the Lord. Let's not become selfish, and let's refrain from immoral or even illegal activity just to get ahead in life. Now, David, the Bible says he was recognized. It says here, he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. We have two groups accepting David now. In other words, they approved of him. Not just because he beat Goliath, but they approved of him because they now worked with him and they saw him. And as he went out and as he behaved himself wisely, they said, that's a good man. That's a trustworthy man. That's a faithful man. You know, not only the people, but the Bible says Saul's servants also accepted him. You see, David, I think, maintained a good testimony. And David did what was right and what was correct. He lived under the Lord. And by the way, nobody ever lived incorrectly while walking with God. Think about that. You walk with God, it don't matter what situation you're in, you walk with God, you're going to do what's right. Now, others may not like what you say or do, but you're going to do what's right in the eyes of God. Also, we cannot mess up while we're abiding with Christ. I like that. Because it's easy to make mistakes in this world, but if we're abiding with Christ and we're allowing God to work through us, we're not going to mess up. God will lead us correctly. So no matter what position God has for you, just live unto Him. You know, David lived unto the Lord. Now, this was by choice. You know, tomorrow you're going to have the choice too. This week you'll have the choice. Probably choices, decisions to make. If you're going to do what's right or do what's wrong. You know, those pop up all the time. We must choose to do what's right, what's correct unto the Lord. And that's evidently what David did. Here's the third one. He was respected. Notice it says here, verse 6, and it came to pass as it came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000. So here he comes back with Saul. I'm sure he's excited and everything's fine. I mean, there's no problems. I'm sure there's harmony and unity. Everything's going well. David had led the men correctly. He'd sustained great victories for the nation. He was a proven leader, a true leader. You know, I want to just throw this out there. You don't have to tell anyone how good a Christian you are if you're living correctly. You don't. Just be faithful. They'll see it. People will know the type of Christian you are by your actions and your conduct in life. David didn't have to tell them how good of a leader he was. He just went out there, lived under the Lord, and they recognized that. Now, when the army returned, the Bible tells us the women greeted them with singing. Now, there's nothing wrong with singing. Enjoyed that special. That was a great special this morning, singing unto the Lord. The problem with this song is they sang unto men. You know, I think this song itself is a terrible testimony of the people. It probably tells us the heart of the people, the attitude of the people. Because this song, if you'll notice, it praised men instead of praising God. When the men returned, they didn't praise God for the victories that God had given to the army. You go back to Exodus, you'll find Moses, it was different. The people praised God for the victories. Here they're praising these men. Saul was first praised for killing thousands. What a praise. Praise for killing thousands. And then they went further with David, and he was praised for killing 10,000. So basically, here's what we have. This song gave credit to men instead of Almighty God for the victory that was there. I think, like many today, these people were probably occupied with human achievements instead of the Lord, instead of spiritual matters. And if we're not careful, we can get that way too. We're so focused on human happenings and achievements that we forget to give God glory and praise. So basically what happened is their song dishonored God. It didn't give Him praise, and it dishonored Him and gave praise to men. And on top of that, this song would be the catalyst for problems in the kingdom, produce disruption within the kingdom. The song exalted men, and whenever you exalt men, it's not going to sit well with other men. And that's what happened here. You know, nothing good ever comes from praising men instead of God. Did you catch that? Nothing ever good comes from praising men instead of God. Even if they're good men, and even if their conduct is righteous, it's never good to praise men. It's always, not only always best, we should praise God alone. He alone deserves our praise and our honor and glory from us. And these people made a mistake. So that's the first problem here. The second problem, I want to just give you a warning of this. I don't think it affected David as much as it affected Saul. But we need to be careful of reading too much into people's words. I've been there where I heard something and I just read too much into it. And next thing you know, guess what? I thought about it all week long when I should have forgot about it and moved on. Be careful of reading too much into people's words, especially when it's praise. You see, the same nation, the same group of people had praised Saul not too far in the past. They had praised Saul. They had adored Saul. They had pretty much believed he was the great king and their great king that they loved. You know, with people, popularity changes rapidly sometimes. You know, the cool person, the popular person today is forgotten sometimes within weeks or months or years. People forget that person. You, this morning, it's best just to live for the Lord's approval. Now, sometimes with promotion, there's going to be this praise. People are going to say things. And what we need to do is handle it correctly. And I'm going to talk about how David handled this here in a minute. But basically, this song, I think, would... I guess the way to put it, it would haunt David for years. It was what ignited Saul's wrath and his envy. And basically, it resulted in David not only being rejected, but living on the run for years. I've often wondered if David thought about that song when he came in years later and said, what a terrible song that is. Horrible situation. Also, it immediately tempted him unto pride. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that he became proud, so I don't think he did. I think he avoided the temptation. But I'm going to give you some thoughts. You know, praise, when people praise others, it tempts them to become proud of their accomplishments and what they've done. To believe that they are the reason for their victories and not God. Now, there's nothing wrong with congratulating somebody, saying job well done. But we need to be careful of praising and exalting people, lifting them up. Allow the Lord to lift them up. You see, pride exalts self. And what it does, it sets God aside. That's why it's so dangerous. You know, in Psalm chapter 16, verse 5, it says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. And I believe that's because God has been removed and that self has come up. Also, in Proverbs 11, it says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Pride is dangerous. You know, this morning, we have nothing to be proud of at all. You know, there's no room for pride when it comes to God. There's no room for self when it comes to God. How many of you created your own life? I didn't. I didn't even get to choose the place I was born. God just put me here. I didn't get to choose the generation that I was born into. That was God's choice too. You see, life comes from God. We have nothing to boast of. Life is sustained by God. He's the one who keeps this world together. He's the one who allows us to continue living in His world that He's created. So we have nothing to boast of when it comes to life. How about salvation? Once again, that's from God. He's provided the atonement of sin. We didn't provide that. We could not provide that. We provided the other side. We provided the filth and the sin that needed to be covered. And He came down and provided the atonement. Jesus Christ did. So we have nothing to boast of when it comes to God. Also, blessings are from God. You know, this morning, I don't think David really struggled with this, which is a credit to his testimony, at least at the moment. But it was probably due to his strong faith in God. You know, the closer we are to God, I think the more we realize how great He is. And when we realize how great He is, we also realize how unworthy we are. Read your Bible. Seek the Lord in prayer. Because the closer you get to God, the more humble you'll be. And that's the way God will bless us. The best way to overcome pride, I think, is just to abide with Christ and look to the Lord. Here's the fourth one, and this is the last one. He was resented. He was resented. You know, as I was reading this, I thought, you know, not everyone's happy when someone's promoted. Not everyone's going to rejoice when you're blessed. That's just part of life, and that's what happened here. It says here in verse 8, and Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. So Saul, we're talking about him for a few minutes. Saul was irate at the words of this song. Basically, this proud man, you know, we don't find any pride in David, but we find a lot in Saul at the moment. This proud man could not stand. He couldn't even stand being considered second place. That's what it amounts to. This was not a war report. This were not the actual findings of what happened out there. Saul was the leader. Saul was the king. David had respected him. David went everywhere Saul told him to go. Saul knew the truth. This was just the praise of the people. But Saul couldn't even stand being second place in this situation. So what happened is pride not only crept into his heart, it was probably already there, but pride caused him to not only not rejoice in David, but began to look at David in a very evil way, a wicked way, to try to destroy David, to bring harm unto David. You know, Saul became envious of David. J. Frank Norris used to say, the way to earn the envy of others is to know more, have more, or do more. I think that sums it up pretty good. You don't have to do anything else, and people will be envious of you sometimes just because of those reasons. And that's what happened here with David. You know, I think it's a shame that Saul was so consumed with himself. Because think of this. He became irate over petty words. These were just songs that were sung on a whim as they returned. That's all it was. These people obviously weren't walking with God. And Saul is getting irate over comments of people who weren't even walking with God themselves. Also, these women had no control over the kingdom. It's not like what they were saying were going to determine anything Saul would do. They had no control over the kingdom. Basically, their words had no effect on Saul unless he allowed them to. And that's what he did. This morning, I want to just give you a warning on that. You know, the world can say all sorts of words. People can say all sorts of things. But in reality, they'll have no effect on you unless you allow them to have an effect on you. If they want to ridicule you and despise you or say things negative towards you, the best thing to do is trust in the Lord. Know the truth. If you know the truth that you're living correctly, allow the Lord to deal with it. Instead of holding on to those words, becoming bitter, becoming envious, becoming jealous, and also seeking vengeance. That's what Saul was going to do. Eventually, he was going to seek vengeance on David, really for something that really mattered not, just a song that was sung. So the Bible tells us that he eyed David from that day forward. In other words, he watched him, observed him, of course, with jealousy and envy. Instead of being grateful for David, David had helped him win some battles out there. Of course, beating Goliath, if it wasn't for David, the whole army was fearful, even Saul himself. David had been a blessing, and instead of being grateful, he was upset. Now, some of you probably have had that before. You've done something and helped someone out, and all of a sudden, not only is there not a thank you, but there's also all of a sudden just someone seems a little bit upset because you did it maybe better than they would have done it. They don't like that. You see, they become jealous and envious, and that's what happened here with Saul. So instead of looking upon David with some respect, he began to look down upon him. Now, the fault was not with David, and that's what we need to remember. The fault was not with David, but with Saul. However, it would become David's problem. Don't you just love dealing with problems other people make? That's what happened to David. With this promotion, he had to deal with this problem of Saul. He didn't make this problem, but he had to deal with it. And sometimes that happens with promotion. You get put in a new position, and you got to pick up the pieces that someone else made a mess of, or you have to deal with problems that you don't make, but they make because of your position. Envy or jealousy. And that's here what happened to David. Now, from this point on, basically Saul looked for an opportunity to destroy David. That's what the Bible tells us. He began to eye him and watch over him. At first, he looked for a personal opportunity, and he missed it, as we'll see as we go through the series. Later, he would chase him throughout the nation, trying to kill him and take his life. But he began to look to destroy David. It's interesting how he had loved David earlier, and now he's beginning to hate David. You know what pride does? Pride blinds us. Pride is so powerful. It blinds us to reality. David was no threat to Saul. You know, I think David here was content where God had put him. Yes, he was anointed to be the next king. Now, I don't think Saul knew that David was going to be the next king. But Saul did know that he was going to be replaced. God had already told him that he was going to be replaced. And I imagine Saul may have been looking, thinking, this is going to be the man. Look at the people accepting him. He's faithful, he's courageous, he's obedient. And he began to get upset and began to get angry and began to look upon David. But in reality, David was no threat. David was not looking to take the kingdom from Saul. David was going to wait until God gave it to him. But Saul didn't see it that way. That pride just blinded him to reality. I'm going to give an illustration of this. There's a story of a lion. Not a true story, as you'll see this morning. A lion in the jungle, and he saw a monkey walking, and he jumped on the monkey right away. Held him down. He looked on the monkey. And he said, "Who's the king of the jungle?" The monkey began to tremble. He said, "You are, mighty lion." The lion let him go. Continued walking on. He saw a zebra, and he went and pounced on the zebra. He said, "Who's the king of the jungle?" He roared it out loud, and the zebra, of course, was scared. He said, "You are, mighty lion." He let the lion go. Or he let the zebra go. The lion continued on through the jungle and he saw an elephant. He went up to the elephant and he stood up on his hind legs and he roared, "Who's the king of the jungle?" Elephant picked him up, twirled him in the air and threw him about 50 feet. And when the lion dusted himself up and got up, he looked over at that elephant and he huffed. "Just because you don't know the answer means you have to be that rough." Pride. Pride can blind us to reality. And that's what happened with Saul. He was blinded to the situation. Beware of pride. Now here's what we have with David, though. At this moment, he knew nothing of Saul's hatred. He remained ignorant of his dangerous predicament. He remained in the palace. He remained working for Saul. And he did not realize the hatred that was building up in Saul's heart and how Saul wanted to destroy him. You know, the more I think about that, it just becomes chilling almost to think that David was living so close to someone who wanted to take his life. Clearly, the matter was out of David's hands. You know, this morning, we need to live by faith because there's so much we don't know or understand. Think of David. He had no idea. I imagine if you would have asked David on that day, who are your biggest enemies, who are your biggest threats, he probably would have said the Philistines or the Ammonites, and began listing all these people. And he himself probably would have been shocked if he said, no, it was Saul, the person you work for, the man that you live in the palace under, your best friend's dad. That's the threat. You see, this morning, we're limited in our knowledge. We don't know. You know, I guess we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But we're also limited in what other people think or what they're going to do. And that's why we have to trust in the Lord. That's why we must trust in the Lord and live by faith. And that's not so we think, well, he's after us or she's after us. No, it's so that way if someone is after us, we trust that God will take care of them, that God will protect us, and that God will provide, and God will guide, and that God will direct. You see, God knows not only our heart, but he knows the hearts of those around us. And God is not only able to protect us and provide for us right here, but he's also able to protect and provide in the actions and conduct of others. And so we just need to trust in the Lord. I think this is where we need to take his word, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, as we live life, you know, there are going to be times you're going to know someone's after you. You know, at work maybe, in your career, you may pick up on it and say, eh, they just don't care for me. But then there are going to be times you're not going to even know about it. I think when we get to heaven, we may be surprised how many times God has blessed us or protected us, and we didn't even know there was a threat. David didn't know there was a threat. God protected him. We must live by faith. You know, this morning, promotion. When we think about promotion, there are so many burdens that come with it. Removed from those that care for us. Maybe tempted to be lonely. Think about the respect that was given him. Praise can lift us up, exalt us. Resentment. Others don't like the blessings you've received. Can come after you. At this point, there may be some out here who say, well, why do we even want to be promoted? You know, I want to remind you at the verse we read at the very beginning in Psalm 75, promotion cometh neither from the west, or from the east, from the west, nor from the south, but God is a judge. He putteth up one, putteth down one, setteth up another. This morning, if the Lord promotes, he will also provide. And that's what we find with David. That's what I want to leave you with as far as encouragement. If the Lord promotes, he will also provide. David was promoted. Had all these temptations, all these burdens that were new in his life, brand new. But God was going to provide. And David would be able to endure. And David would be blessed because he continued to walk with God. You know, salvation is a promotion. You ever thought about that? When you're saved, you're lifted out of sin. You're exalted before God and you're brought into his family. Salvation is a promotion. And if you're saved here this morning, you have been promoted. And with that promotion, you think about it, comes a lot of, I don't want to call them burdens, but a lot of responsibility. Living for God, walking with God, being grateful unto God, praising God, serving the Lord, and so forth. But the same God who saved you will also provide for you, who will also give you the ability to continue during hardships or struggles or trials. You know, this morning, if God chooses to give you an earthly promotion, remember, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll help you through that. You know, this morning, in closing, I want to encourage you just to look to him and live by faith. That's what it comes down to. Look to God and live by faith. Of course, salvation, living by faith, trusting in Christ our Savior, but afterwards, living by faith. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the testimony of David. And Lord, I pray if you've worked in anyone's heart here this morning as we have this invitation, I pray that you'll just, I pray they get things settled with you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed for just a few minutes. We're going to have a time of invitation as the piano begins to play. You know, I don't know if God's worked on your heart here this morning or not, but if He has, I encourage you to seek Him in prayer. As far as promotion is concerned, like I said, salvation is a promotion. And it comes from God. We don't lift ourselves out of sin. We don't exalt ourselves. That's God's work in our life. And if there's someone here that's not saved, you've been living in sin, you haven't made a decision concerning Christ, I encourage you to consider that. Until that promotion is given, you're still in your sin and you're still accountable for those sin. But once you're saved, you're forgiven and you have eternal life with God. If you have any questions concerning salvation, I encourage you to come down. We can take the Bible and show you what salvation is and how you can know that you're saved.